Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, 1 week under our belts, buddy.
1 week of the DIY podcast. 1 week.
I wasn't going to say DIY, but yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of that way.
1 week.
Yeah.
I have some improvements to make on my editing.
We all have room to improve.
A little extra color grading, you know.
Maybe.
No, I got to brighten it up. I'll know next. You got to give me at least a few weeks.
It's right? Almost like it's back to the core episodes of like evaluate performance, make adjustments, and improve.
Dun-dun-dun.
Ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bump.
If you're newly listening to the show.
The videoing in those is excellent.
Yeah, it is.
The conversation
is
suspect as fuck.
Yeah. So if you're newly listening to the show, if you go back all the way to episodes 1 through 9, those are our core episodes where we kind of deep dive into like the nitty gritty of everything you need to do to start your own company. And one of those steps is evaluate performance, make adjustments, and improve.
We've talked about it a lot on this show.
It never ends.
No one is perfect and it never ends.
Yeah.
You are constantly evaluating, hey, what else can I do? It's the old, when you're not a business owner, it's the old thing of what can I do to make more money? Nice. You okay over there?
Woo!
If you know what? No, out of everything that's happened on this show in 100, this is like episode 177. No one's ever thrown up.
No.
I've bled.
Well,
you want to throw up?
No, I poured my rum on top and I didn't stir it. I just drank straight. I just drank straight.
Gotcha.
Rum.
You're just a pussy. Okay, I understand now.
Woo! That is a spicy drink.
That's a spicy meatball. No, but what I was saying is like, you know, when you're a young kid, you're like, what can I do to make more money? It was the same thing.
Yeah.
You're trying to improve your situation.
Yeah.
Once you've been through the ringer for a while and you're in business and you're like, okay, how can I be better every day?
Yeah.
What can I grow in that will help the business, that will help my life, my personal life,
yeah,
everything? And well, it's a constant reevaluation.
And I still do it all the time. Like, what can I do to make more money? And it's not me personally. It's the what can I do to have the business make more money, right?
Yeah.
And it's not a greed thing. Like, money is a tool. And money is a tool that helps you become successful. And the definition of success is not about how much money you have. It's about like how healthy your business is, how healthy your relationships are, and how healthy you are.
Well, success is different for everyone.
It is.
You know what I mean? A lot of people would be quote unquote successful at 120 a year.
Yeah.
Their wife stays at home. They live in this, like out in the country, and they don't care. They got their own cows, their own chickens. To them, that's successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, like when I say like, what can I do to make more money in the business? It has more to do like we made a lot of changes at the first of the year for our business, and it's like they should result in a lot more money. But the reason for that is not out of greed. It's not so I can make more. Like I'm not going to change my salary. It's so that the business can be healthier, because a healthier business, I can buy tools a little bit easier. I can buy vans, I can add staff, I can celebrate and reward the team better, and like all of these things if the cash flow's there.
How's that going, by the way?
So far, so good. Now we don't have all the days under our belt.
I mean,
so
it's only been 2 weeks.
It's been a week.
Well, you've been thinking about it for 2 weeks, but
yeah, so we our CRM that we're using, they very durable, but they did have an error that I don't know if it's fixed or not.
You're talking about one of the girls answering the phones?
No.
Or the Service Fusion?
We use Service Fusion for our CRM. And their massive import...
CRS is what I was thinking of.
Oh.
Sorry. Go ahead.
The import feature to where you can import massive amounts of repair codes at once.
Okay.
It broke. So our price book is built into 3 import files. And so it's 3 different imports to get all the pricing in there. we imported two of the three, and then their import feature broke, and the third one just stuck in suspend. And so we tried making all these changes the last, like, New Year's, the week of New Year's. And so that way, the last 2 days of December were going to be all these changes, and then the first 2 days of January were going to be all these changes. Well, we didn't get them done. And so we really, I had my virtual professional, I'm like, I hate to say this, but we're going to have to manually enter all those. And she's like, well, that's a lot of work, but it is what it is. And she never complains.
She's awesome.
And so, manually entered them. We got them all in there by like Thursday of that week. So by January 1st, we got them in there, or January 2nd. And so we ran Thursday and Friday with them, and then we were closed this Monday, yesterday, because Kansas City got like the fourth largest amount of snow in a single day ever on record.
Yeah,
and so
it was fun.
It's fun.
It's still been fun for me.
Yeah,
I still haven't gone sledding.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I'm still sad about that.
Yeah.
But go on.
So that kind of shut down the business and shut down everything. The roads weren't clear. You couldn't get to people's houses or anything else. So we just shut things down. Opened back up today. And so we're really only three business days in on the new pricing. And so far, no complaints. The guys are liking it. The guys aren't even giving me feedback that the customers are having issues with it or anything else.
If they're not complaining, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And the way that I've got my setup, my stuff set up with my guys and everything else, when I raise my prices, my guys get a raise too. So they
love it. They're like, well,
a double-edged sword, because raising the prices does make the job a little harder as a technician. But at least the reward is there. It's not like a business that raises their prices and doesn't raise the pay. And
it's hard for those guys to overcome the,
yeah, my job gets harder and I get paid the same kind of thing.
Yeah. And then they automatically are negative
when
they're presenting pricing and this and that, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or they don't offer the highest option because they think, oh, the price is going
up
and they're not going to go up. I'm not going to make the sale and I'm not making any more money anyway. So who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But so far it's been going good. So
good. Let me ask you this: so Austin's been gone a week.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed less? And I don't know if you felt this way at all ever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel less stress trying to find things for him to do, and like that part has been gone off your plate, and so you're a little more relaxed? Or
yeah, we kind of talked about it on the last show. We had kind of run through everything my imagination can come up with on the video side of things. I mean, we had some other wild and crazy videos, but they didn't really fit the needs of our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And they would probably hurt us in business. Like, one of the video ideas I wanted to do was I wanted to take all the contractor objections that contractors get 24/7.
Oh, man.
And I wanted to go out into the general public and provide the general public those same objections.
Oh my God, I had a great idea for TradeWinds.
And we might do this in TradeWinds. This could absolutely, like, dude, this would fit the mold in TradeWinds.
We go to the supply house and I'm just asking people random questions. What do you hate about your boss?
Well, yeah.
It's like smash or pass. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
No, like I wanna go to a restaurant and then like offer to provide my own material and see if I can get my meal at a discount.
That's a good way to get stabbed at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But it'd be funny.
It would be funny, right?
you should do it.
And I want to go to like a coffee shop and be like, $4.99 for coffee. The place down the street has it for $2.99.
I think you mean $29.99.
Right,
and the place down the street has it for $2.99.
Yeah. But like, I want to go through all of the objections that contractors get.
That'd be good.
Like, I want to get my bill. And I want to ask for a breakdown on the invoice. And they'll be like, well, it's all on there. This plate was this and this place was this.
Like, yeah. No, I want
parts and labor.
Yeah. I want.
Show me how much the peas were.
The ribeye steak.
Yeah.
How much was meat? How much was cooked gas? And how much was Antonio cooking it up for?
And do I have to pay more for an extra, like, well-done steak versus a medium steak? Because you're cooking it less.
He's such a dick move. It'd be great.
But like, all of these abstract objections that they'll seem incredibly like audacious if you apply them to everyone else.
Yeah.
But for some reason, people think they can.
This may be one of your best ideas yet.
Yeah.
I like it.
We just never could pull it off on the plumbing channel because it didn't quite fit the needs of that.
Well, you don't want being a dick out there because like all of your customers maybe work at a restaurant or maybe work at Starbucks.
Yeah.
or maybe work at Walmart. Yeah. Or, you know what
we
I mean?
We could totally be a dick on this one.
Yeah, and this doesn't matter.
So
our guys don't Our guys don't give a fuck. Yeah. The guys that are in TradeWinds are like, dude, that's good.
I want to get some of those Ray-Ban video recording glasses, and we'll just go in and knock it out.
I almost bought some.
I might need to borrow a chicken, though.
Dude, I got 33 chickens. You can have as many chickens as you want.
Because I want to go to a barbecue restaurant and ask them, can I provide my own chicken? And they'll look perplexed, and then I literally set a live fucking chicken on the counter, and I want to get their reactions.
Dude, they will, if you put them in a... Don't ask me how I know this. If you put one in a small duffel bag with its head out, it'll stay in there. It won't panic.
Let's go.
Stay
tuned, people.
The first six that we got, I'm sorry. It would have been the second group that we got of six. We have 33 now, but the second group of six. You okay?
I poured that strong.
Jesus, man. It doesn't help. Great.
Yeah, it doesn't help that it's the like strong captain. Yeah. It's the reserve or whatever, like the extra potent Captain Morgan.
I'm going to get back to the chickens, but I'm going to say right now that all of the guys in TradeWinds are like, Mitch is bitching about strong rum. And they're all like whiskey drinkers and vodka drinkers. And they're like, "Yeah, I can't believe he's my
I'm
coach.
A lightweight.
He's my coach. You are a lightweight.
I'm a lightweight.
Said the guy taking 40 milligrams of weed at night so he can sleep.
No, not, I take 15, not 40. 40 was the accident.
I don't know
that
what you
take.
That
was hilarious, by the way.
Dude, the only time I've ever seen you high that I can remember was...
Probably ski trip. I only do it at night in the comfort of my own home when I don't have to go anywhere.
So at the event at Lake of the Ozarks... It was late,
yep.
And you took one to go to bed, and the guys were like peppering you questions. You're up answering them and this and that, and I come up to the house. The rest of us were at the bonfire drinking, having a good time, right?
Yeah.
I come up to the house, and I was like, what's going on? I can't remember if it was you and Jose or you and somebody, and you guys were just talking, and your eyes were like beet red.
Yep.
And I was like, Mitch, you got to go to sleep, dude.
Yep.
And you were like,
yep, I'm out.
You were like three steps up, and you're like, where do you think I'm going?
Yeah.
I was like, you got to go to bed.
Yeah, when they hit, it's time.
But yeah. So back to the chicken thing, though.
Okay.
Those first three or first six that we had, Layla used to pick them up all the time, like every day for a year. You can go out there. If I throw feed out there, they'll follow me around. We'll throw you a white leghorn chicken in there.
Let's do it.
It'll be hilarious.
I'm ready.
I'm trying to think if there's any laws that you'd be breaking.
Probably, but when does that ever stop me? Allegedly, right?
First off, allegedly is correct. Second, never. Third, I can't think of an actual law. Like, if you get one of those little permits that's like, it's my support animal, could take it anywhere.
What's the worst they're going to do? They're going to ask you to leave. Okay, I'll gladly leave. Done.
I think you should get the support animal thing and be like, I'm willing to sacrifice my support animal to save $3. Like, that would be hilarious. You know, we talk about the guys coming in. George was here. I think Dan's going to come in and do a podcast the week before the event. We should get them out in some hairy situations and be like, hey, guys.
We should.
Yeah.
See how they respond.
From now on, this is the MO when you come into town. So, good luck.
Trap them in a house with my mother-in-law.
You don't have to be a dick.
You said area situations.
First. Oh. How do you know it's hairy?
Oh, I'm just assuming. I don't even really want to picture that, to be honest with you.
What are you doing on the weekends, Mitch?
Not that. Not that at all.
Oh, my God.
So before this podcast, we were doing a coaching call with one of our TradeWinds members.
Charles Nielsen. Love him. Good dude.
Which, by the way, if you would like coaching calls from David and I, you can sign up for TradeWinds, and we'll help you with your business.
TradeWindsConsulting.com, peeps.
Yeah.
No,
or winninginthetrades.com.
Or winninginthetrades.com.
Yeah. So the subject came up of what do names mean, and my last name's Smedley.
I don't even know how we got there.
I don't even know either, and I said, my last name's Smedley, and if you want to laugh your ass off, go look up Smedley in the Urban Dictionary. And everyone's like, oh yeah, what's that mean? So I got it pulled up here on my computer.
Okay.
The act of taking a shit, smoking a blunt, and playing Halo simultaneously.
That's a smedley?
That's what they... That I mean, there's a lot of... The Urban Dictionary is kind of like Wikipedia, like it's user submitted.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's like when you're about to get fired, what'd you do today? Oh, I set my office and fucked up wiki entries.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah, like the example here is person one. God damn, person two. What? Person one. I wish I had a bathroom adjacent to my television like Smedley. They don't even mention the weed. Ironically, that was submitted to the Urban Dictionary on my birthday.
Are you freaking kidding
me?
Yeah,
it's got the submission date on there. That's funny.
Will you take a picture of that and send it to me?
Sure.
I can't see your screen.
So the next Urban Dictionary of Smedley is slang for the U.S. Marine Corps for somebody who handles simple jobs for a superior. And that stems from...
I think he means bitch.
No.
So Smedley is now bitch.
There's a Marine hero named Smedley Butler.
Oh.
Who is a butler for like a major general. And there's a whole story there. I've never even looked into it.
I don't want that to be funny.
Yeah. So another Urban Dictionary lesson for Smedley. The people usually carry the name Smedley, and these people are usually insanely nice, caring, and loyal, and responsible, and don't treat girls like shit, but actually care for them by overthinking nearly everything they do or say.
That's just the definition of who you
That's
are.
That's me to a T. Right?
Baby, I don't care that you're banging everybody else. That's fine.
Here's
I love
one.
You. Don't leave me.
Here's another definition
of Smedley.
I know
we're only 22, but could you just stay with me forever?
An unbroken string of musical-sounding farts. That is a Smedley. And the last one, is, so we're getting into uncharted territory. This is the last one I looked up.
Oh, my God.
It's usually the guy who's the bearer of bad news.
So that goes with being nice. They're all like, hey, Mitch.
Maybe.
If you go tell the guy that his wife died,
yeah,
he won't take it badly because you're a nice guy. That actually makes sense.
Here's another one. Smedley is a condition whereby the lips become extremely dry and possibly cracked. It may be caused by evaporation of moisture or, more commonly, picking at your irritated lips. And The example is, ooh, you need to cover up that Smedley on your lip.
Which lips are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. So,
oh, man. That's bad, dude. That's not good.
The last one I'll read. This is the end of page one. Alternative method for cool, awesome, or fantastic with connotations of cutting-edge hipness.
Of course you would choose that one.
That ain't me.
No, that's not you.
Them some Smedley digs on you is what it says. So if you want, here, you want to do Hilton?
Yeah, do Hilton. Sorry, I'm eating a cookie. I didn't eat dinner today before I came over. Read them to me.
The number one response.
What? Let me have it.
An individual who is most noted for their affluence and tendency to eat popcorn with a spoon.
I mean, that sounds like me.
It's synonymous of micromanager.
I'm not a micromanager.
Ironically, their example is Matt is really being a Hilton towards Dave. It's what it says.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm honest to God serious.
Let me look.
Matt is really being a Hilton towards Dave.
Okay, go to the next one. I don't like where this is going. I'm not affluent. I am affluent, but I'm not a douche.
Oh, God, you're going to love this one.
Okay, read it to me.
Hilton. He's the guy who appears in your most vivid dreams and fantasies. His face doesn't have the exact form, and he leaves you longing for him for days.
That is me.
The example is, I saw Hilton in my dreams last night. It was insanely vivid, but I couldn't make out his face.
Text that to my wife. What else you got?
That's good. Here we go.
That's gold.
There's a word in here I don't know how to pronounce. Hilton, an Asian who likes to watch hentai, because they are skinny bones and weak with a 4-inch on. Skinny bones and weak with a 4-inch penis when they were in high school, wishing they had a longer one. The example is, yo, Hilton, get your skinny ass over here.
Oh, shit. Oh, that is good. That's not me. Oh my God, come to an event, I'll show you.
That is
hilarious.
So now we're getting into versions of Hilton.
Oh my God.
My wife is walking in at the wrong moment. We're looking up our last names on the Urban Dictionary. Let me repeat to you, for those that don't know, my wife just walked in. Let me repeat to you the last one I just read.
Oh, my
Hilton,
side hurts.
An Asian who likes to watch hentai because they are skinny bones and weak with a 4-inch penis when they were in high school, wishing they had a long one.
Is that not good? Look at her. She's like, I know that's not what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a complete opposite to the one before that, where they're thinking about you in their dreams.
Yeah.
So here is Hilton Iced. 98% wasted or stoned, 1% table dancing, and 1% surrounded by your drunk or high friends. That's a pretty good application for
David.
I was
thinking your wife walked in at the exact right time.
Yeah.
She's not a Hilton, but that might be her.
She could be the table dancer. I'll be the drunk friend. You're 98% wasted. We're good.
I can't argue. I mean, what am I supposed to say?
And here's
one more. One more.
Hiltoned to be jailed for drunk driving.
Only been Mitch.
No, you've only been jailed for warrants. I was there when you were.
Yeah, and I was.
We can't
there.
Talk about that night. I'm not. I'm told I can't talk about it.
No, you can talk about it all you want. The only one of us that's been in jail for a DUI was you.
It was a zero tolerance violation.
You were Hilton.
I was 10 times under the legal limit when I was arrested.
You were Tilton. Hilton.
Hilton.
Tilton.
Tilton.
Tilton. Get out of here. I'm trying to work here.
I just heard you laughing like a girl.
I couldn't help it. It was funny as hell.
All right, I got two more to go here because these kind of go together. The Hilton is the phrase. The phrase has its origins for the early release of the Paris Hilton sex tape. It denotes masturbation, predominantly by men, and can be said that it is a clandestine way among friends surrounded.
You're really creeping people out, dude.
Why is Xfinity wanting to do this?
Because Xfinity sucks.
I'm getting these weird pop-ups from Xfinity.
Yeah, That's a virus from looking at too much porn on your laptop.
That's probably my computer got Hiltoned. That's what happened. Okay. So the very next one down is Hiltoned, and it's to have sex with a mate multiple times in a small period of time. And the example is I Hiltoned Jessica all day yesterday.
I Hiltoned the shit out of that bitch.
That's
correct.
Is hilarious. All right, so if you guys are looking for something fun to do amongst your friends, look up their last names in the Urban Dictionary and then find the most fitting definition for them. So on to some actual.
Oh, did you want to talk about
real talk? Yeah, let's close the laptop because I'll get distracted by that all night long.
It's not going to shut our board off, is it?
No, because it's plugged in differently.
Oh, okay, good.
So I want to talk about, here we are at the beginning of the year, and we've got to make tough calls in our businesses. No matter the size of the business, you are a leader. You are a leader if you have employees in your business. You are a leader if you are the only person in your business. And you are a leader if you haven't even started your business yet.
Yep.
Leadership is not about the title. It's about having an influence on other people. And so being a leader is required in order to have a successful business, no matter the size. One-man show, three-man shop, five-man shop, 10-man shop, 100-man shop, doesn't matter. You got to be a good leader. If you want to have a successful one-man show, you need to be a good leader of yourself. And leadership starts from within and then works outward, right? We've talked about this before on the show, that you can't affect change in the world until you affect change in your nation. You can't affect change in your nation until you affect change in your state. You can't do your state until you affect change in your city. You can't affect change in your city until you affect change in your neighborhood. You can't affect change in your neighborhood until you affect change in your house. And it just keeps going all the way down, right? You can't affect change in your house, so you can affect change in yourself, right? So all of this originates from leading by example. And that is one of the key pieces of being a leader, is being ethical and being honest and doing the right things even when nobody is looking. That's how you lead yourself. There's a lot of fake leaders out there that do the right things when people are looking, but then they do the wrong things when people aren't looking.
Yeah.
They aren't leading themselves. Like,
yeah.
Another attribute of leadership is holding people accountable. And if you can't even hold yourself accountable, you won't make it as a leader,
yeah.
right?
Bad leaders always want to be leading when everyone's looking.
Yeah.
You can't be leading. A good leader leads when no one's watching, okay? They're doing the things on the side to be better,
yep.
to make the business better. That is a true leader.
Yeah.
They are quote-unquote the sacrificial lamb a yep. lot of the times, too.
Yeah.
A good leader is like, hey, I will throw myself under the bus first
yep.
before I throw anyone else under the bus.
Yeah.
That's being a good leader.
So it's kind of funny. Like, this happened today.
And today.
This wasn't planned. But we hired a new plumber this morning, and we hired him a while ago, but he just started his first day this morning. And he did a working interview with us. I'm a big fan of working interviews where I'll pay guys
yeah.
like $10.99 wages. Like, you're not an employee yet. I'm still going to pay you, and it's not cash under the table.
No, you're $10.99.
Yeah, if it breaks $600, I'm sending you a $10.99. But I'll pay guys to work with us before they're a formal employee.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure the vibe's right. We want to make sure that they blend well with us, we blend well with them, and all of this stuff, right? It saves a lot of turnover.
It's the best way to get past the resume.
Yeah.
Like, you can fake a lot on a resume.
Yep.
I mean, a guy comes to you and he's got 8 references. Are you calling everyone?
I don't call references.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
that's
the
what
guy
I'm saying.
Picked the references.
That's my point.
Yeah.
A lot of companies, you go in there with 8 references, they're like, oh, well, let's call his last one and see what they said.
Yeah.
Well, that guy could be great friends with that person.
Right.
And that guy makes a glowing, you know, reference about their work and everything else. And you're like, eh.
Yeah. These are all people that were handpicked. Like, I'm not going to call your references. I'm going to trust you at your word.
Yeah.
Until you give me a reason not to.
The working interview is a great way to get good employees.
Yeah.
If you take only one thing from this show, it's that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the working interview. So this guy came and did a working interview with us a couple months ago. And he's not from here, so he had to relocate to come work for us. He had to move 3.5 hours.
Where's he from?
Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, you told me that.
Yep. And so he's kind of stoked because they usually don't get snow in Wichita, and we just got the 4th largest snow ever. So.
Well, then he's automatically an idiot because snow sucks.
Yeah. Well, he's in that wheel of like, okay, it's kind of cool, but it kind of sucks too. But yeah. It's kind of cool.
It's like, hard to go out and like hustle and work and get a lot. Just when it snows and when it's cold, your productivity is cut by like 25%.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah, we cleared snow from a fuck ton of driveways yesterday, and I'm beat today.
First off,
go to the gym all the time, but it ain't shoveling snow.
You looked like shit yesterday.
I was tired last night.
So people that are watching on YouTube, like Mitch has it, usually his hair is back like it is today.
It was shoveled, yeah.
Like today is back, and it's down the sides.
Because I was in a hood and a stocking cap.
It was like, it looked like the Trump comb over down front. I was like, dude, I knew immediately. I was like, what did you do today? And then you told me. I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
I was like, dude, you look like shit, man.
Yeah, it was a hard workout. But so this guy starts with us. And when he did his working interview, he was in the shop for a little while. I kind of showed him around there. And then he starts with us today. And so we've had, we've played a little like shop bingo, or I don't know what you want, like hopscotch a little bit. We've been moving vehicles in and out of our shops around a lot lately. One of my employees has an older, like towable camper, and it's huge, and the roof started leaking on it. And so he wanted to reseal the roof, and he needed a warm place inside to reseal the roof so that it could cure
is that not under warranty?
No, this is an older camper.
Okay.
Older camper.
Older. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
expensive to take it somewhere. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, yeah. And so I said, yeah. Like, he asked, could I get it in the shop? I said, you're going to, like, his camper's really long. It's 37 feet long.
Oh, shit. That's tight.
Yeah, our shops are 60 feet long, but the parking lot's only 60 feet wide. So I'm like, you're going to have a hard time backing it in there.
Well, and you got shit in there.
Yeah. And so we kind of piled everything into one shop to clear up room for the other. Well, these are install vehicles, and they've been driven around in the snow and the slush, and stuff's falling off of them and everything else.
It's a mess.
So today we started moving some things back around, and our newer plumber is helping me. And I made the comment, I'm like, our shop is freaking, now that I got all these vehicles out of our other shop, like, it's filthy. We have two shops, and so we took everything out of one to clear room, right? And I said, it is filthy. I got to clean this thing. And he goes, you know, I do want to point out that whenever I came and did my working interview with you, one of the reasons I decided to work with you was how clean your shop was. He was like, most plumbing companies have a very nasty shop.
It's a shithole. Yeah.
And he was like, I figured if you take pride in your shop like this, then you definitely take pride in your customers and your work and your people and everything else. And I'm like, hell yeah. Well, that's yeah. literally leadership, right? That's,
yeah.
That's leadership when you don't even recognize you're leading. You're leading by example, yeah. right?
Or and he's so, a great salesman.
No, I don't pick him as the bullshitting type. Now, some of my guys I would pick as the bullshitting type for sure. I don't pick him as that yet.
Yeah,
we'll
that's
know.
What I'd say.
We'll
I'd be
more.
Like, man,
yeah,
you are just a badass. This thing is so clean. Yeah. You are just, man, Mitch, I love you.
Yeah. So, you know, leading by example and holding people accountable is great. And you know, I did this several times today. As we're going through the van of one of our former plumbers, I will say the former plumber returned his van in the best condition I've ever had a plumber return their van in.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. And so I don't want to take this as a knock, but we all have our little quirks in our vans, right? We all have that yeah. one piece of material that we stock way too much of. We always have that one piece of material that we never can remember to stock. And, you know, yeah. all of these
my
things.
My door envelope was always full of bullshit.
Yeah.
It was just, it was my catch-all, and it sucked always.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what vehicle I was in. It sucked.
The plumbers that listen to the show, you'll understand. We started going through his inventory, and I wait. When the guys turn in their trucks, I'll do a high-level overview, and if I don't feel like anything's too out of miss, I don't even mess with it.
Yeah.
And I wait until the new plumber comes, and then we turn the truck together. Because, for one, I want to have them have vested interest in getting it up to snuff and right. And well, I want them to participate in it.
And knowing what's in there, right?
And now they know exactly where yeah. everything is, right?
Yeah. This is how we do it.
Yep.
If you don't like it, let's switch it around now.
Yeah. Well, I don't let them switch it around too much.
So, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just a little. I'd rather have my PVC fittings over here, my
yeah.
black nipples over here.
Yeah. I more care about the height of where things are at. I want the heavy stuff towards the floor and the lightweight stuff towards the top. It makes the vehicle less top heavy, and it also keeps our shelves from ripping off the walls.
Yeah.
So, as we're going through this, like we started going through his PVC fittings, and they were largely okay. He was overstocked on a lot of stuff. We probably pulled out, I don't know, an extra 100 PVC fittings of various ones that were too much.
It's not a big deal.
It's not huge.
It's not a big deal.
But I found a total of, let's see, we left 8 on there. So I found a total of 22 inch-and-a-half PVC male iron pipe adapters.
What?
22.
Why?
And, like, the only way we use those is if we're rebuilding somebody's sink drains, we would use those as
yeah.
a trap adapter.
Yeah.
Or, even though they come in our trap bag kits.
Maybe that's why he had so many.
But the only other reason we use them is for sump pump discharges. I'm like, dude, you had enough MIPs on here to do 22 sump pumps. Like, what the hell? You only had 2 sump pumps on the truck.
He had probably been opening up those PVC traps and been just throwing them in there.
No, these aren't. These are the full-blown PVC ones. They're the tubular ones.
They were the thick ones, not the little thin, shitty ones.
But like, I took a photo of it, and I texted it to the team. And, you know, I said, like, hey, guys, don't do this. Like, this shows that we were a little out of touch with our truck stock here.
Yeah.
And we went to the supply house with a not accurate list. And we were, like, ordering off of feel and emotion instead of, like, what's actually needed.
He ran out of them one time, and he was like, man.
Yeah.
Every order, he's like, I don't get another one.
And I say that without knocking the guy, because we all have our quirks. Like, this was 10 years ago. I didn't even have our company. I was managing another company at the time. And we had to let a guy go, and we found, like, 17 rolls of paper towels in his trucks. And I'm like, what do you need? Like, that's more than an entire case of paper towels. Like, what do you need 17 rolls of paper towels
for?
You can
never have too many paper towels.
Yeah,
you can never have too many paper towels.
The worst. We fired a guy for, like, horrible performance. And our shop, this was, again, at a former company. We had a shop mechanic. The fleet was big enough that they had a full-time mechanic in the shop. And
I would, first off, if I didn't have money, I would love that job.
Oh, he loved it.
I would love that job.
I mean, he raced cars on the nights and weekends, and he wrenched on our shop vehicles all day.
Yeah.
And we didn't have clunker shop vehicles.
No, he's just listening to the radio,
yep.
having a great time, getting it. I would love that job if it paid worth a shit.
Yeah, he's changing oil. He's doing tires.
Man, that'd be great.
He was, if you have Dodge ProMasters, you know, he's changing headlights every day. Because, I mean, I guarantee a Dodge ProMaster has got a headlight out.
He had one of those little chess clocks, and he's like, okay,
yep.
how fast can I do it today? And one side kept his record, and he just,
yeah.
every time, how good can I do?
Yeah. And anyway, so he had the luxury, like part of his jobs was he was tasked with turning trucks as we let employees go. And he wouldn't really do a lot with the inventory. His was still the maintenance side of things, but he'd have to work through the inventory a little bit to handle the maintenance side of things.
Yeah, the shelf's falling off.
To handle the shelves falling off and to make sure that the routers, like he would also maintain the routers, and so make sure the routers were good. Make sure that all those trucks had winches in them, and so he'd make sure the winch was operational and stuff like that. He went to go move a bucket off of a shelf, and it tipped over on him because he was unprepared for it to be full of liquid.
Don't
and what that liquid was...
Don't tell me it was shit.
It was golden shower. This particular employee peed in the back of his truck in a bucket and never emptied it, and he had a 5-gallon bucket full of piss on an upper shelf in his truck. And I've never seen that mechanic so mad in his... I mean, he was... Human.
Did he just walk into the office and be like, I need that guy's home address?
He didn't even
fucking
walk
right now.
He pulled his shirt off, he pulled his pants off, and he got in his car in his underwear and he went home. And I'm just like speech, like I don't blame him, right?
No,
I don't
of course
blame
not.
Him at all, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that was mild for handling that, right?
Yeah.
And then the owners, like I was pretty close with the owners of that company. The owners came down and they're like, where did he go? They just see him driving away. And
he
I'm
went
like,
to shower.
I'm like, you're going to want to give him a few. Like, he might not even be back tomorrow. If you get his resignation, don't be alarmed. Here's what happened. And I told him what happened. And they were like, oh, man, I got to call him.
Yeah. And apologize. I'd be like, hey, take a shower. I'm taking you and your wife or girl to dinner tonight. I'm so sorry.
That's exactly like it's a very similar like he called him.
That's what I would do. If I was a boss, that's what I'd done.
He called him and the guy picked up the phone. I'm surprised the guy answered. He picked up the phone and you could hear him screaming on the other end. And the owner of the company was like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, do what you need to, take as much time as you need. That is absolutely disgusting. If you want to go get checked out at a hospital,
we'll pay for it.
Like, I mean, that is, it's infectious, you know, biohazard type shit.
Could be.
And it splashed on his face. I mean, it got him. And so, and he was like,
I might throw up on the show today.
He says, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'm going to put together a care package for you and I'm going to drop it off at your doorstep tonight. You don't even need to be there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, like, he didn't quit. And he's still a great employee, but that's like what a good boss does, right?
Yeah,
They realize,
well,
like,
he's not a good boss. That's what a good leader does.
Yeah.
He's like, I got you.
A bad leader is like, oh, so you're taking your lunch early. You'll be back in 30 minutes.
How about I come back and stab you in the face, you son of a bitch.
Come back with a brick.
Yeah. A brick.
But
how about I burn your business to the ground, you son of a bitch?
Leadership is about setting high standards and then holding people accountable and enforcing those standards, right? We were talking this morning on one of our other Tradewinds coaching calls with a guy who has a cancerous employee in his company that he's wanted to fire for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And there's a funny rift in the leadership of this company where he kind of owns the company, but he kind of doesn't own it. It's like he's taking over ownership from his parents. And this employee is kind of his parents' responsibility, and so he has to, like, get his parents
he's
to fire him.
He's got to tiptoe around it.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't want to. He has to handle it delicately.
He
wants to go in there and burn that thing down.
Yeah, because it goes deeper than just firing the employee, stepping on his parents' toes and everything else.
Yeah.
But the reason you set high standards and then have to enforce those standards is because your entire team is watching you enforce standards all day long.
Yeah.
And the moment you let one guy slide... You now set the bar for everybody of like, well, if Chester over there doesn't have to do it, then I'm not doing it.
Yep.
And if Chester can get away with saying no to the boss, then I'm going to try to say no to the boss. Or if they don't do that, then they now lose a lot of respect for the boss because they watch how the boss cowers down around Chester and nobody else.
Yeah. And even good bosses can, what that does is create a toxic environment.
Yeah.
They can breed a toxic environment and don't even know they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like they just... They're trying to be nice. They're overly nice. They're overly accepting of bad behavior.
Yep.
And they create just this toxic environment of everyone can get away with whatever.
Right.
And all that does is burn your fucking company to the ground.
It does.
It's bad. I've seen some big companies that have lost half of their staff because of things like that.
Yep.
Usually it's because someone comes in and says, this is not how we're running things. I'm cleaning house,
yeah.
And people either quit or get fired, but you don't want it to come to that.
Yeah.
Like you don't, you want to be on top of it constantly.
Well, and you'll see this a lot too when businesses get handed down to the children, because the owner of the business earned their position.
And we're not talking about who we were talking about earlier.
No. This is just in general. Yeah. The owner of the business earned that position. And then the child comes in with most likely less tenure than a lot of the other employees there and everything else. And the child comes in and they watched their father be, or mother, be authoritative from time to time. They've listened to their parent express frustration in the privacy of their home and all of this stuff about employees or businesses or whatever. And if it's handed down wrongly and that child was not groomed and trained correctly to run the business, then the child comes in and thinks that they have to rule with an iron fist, and they think that they can scare everybody into following them.
Yeah.
And leaders don't scare people into following them. Leaders create such a pleasant experience with the results of good leadership that people choose to follow them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a boss in a company to be a leader.
Yeah.
You can be a peon, but because you do the right things and you say the right things and you don't misbehave, people will start following your example. You're leading people even though you're on the bench or in the shop, or you're riding in a truck. You're not even running a truck yet, or you're a helper on a job. You can still be a leader by picking up that trash that somebody threw at the can and missed the can, and then now the trash is sitting right next to it.
Yeah.
Or grabbing the shopping cart that's running solo in the parking lot and putting it in the cart corral or taking it to the front door. Like, all of those little tiny things establish you as a leader. When you get up, like, let's say you're in a business setting and you get up from a conference room and everybody just stands up, slides their chairs back, and walks out. And you stay for the extra 45 seconds and put everybody's chairs back onto the table where they go. That's leading by example. And even if nobody sees it, it's no big deal. But if one person sees it, they're going to be like, wow, that guy cares.
Yeah.
He really, like, he wants this place to look nice.
Yeah.
You know, I used to work at a former place where it was a two-story place, and they would have these little shit tests for new hires coming in. And they didn't put a lot of weight in them,
but they were fairly accurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were fairly accurate. So because it was two-story, you could watch these people pull in from the upper story, and you could kind of get a view of their car. And you weren't judging them by what they drove, but you were judging them by how well they cared for what they drove. And if they had shit piled all over the dash and the car looked like it had been through a mud run and hadn't been cleaned forever.
Yeah, you know you're in trouble.
You know that guy's not going to want to take care of your shit, right? But if they drove like a 1979 Fiat that was rusty.
88 Pontiac Sunbird.
88 Pontiac Sunbird. Let's say it's got rust holes in it because it's an 88, right?
Yeah.
But it still runs good, drives good, the tires are in good shape, and it's overall in good shape. It's just got normal wear with its age.
It's just old because you broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they would say, okay, the guy can take care of his vehicles, right? Yeah. You didn't have to have a nice vehicle. It just had to be kept nice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was more about the effort that you put into your vehicle and what you owned.
Yeah.
Like, that dictates character.
Yeah.
Right?
And so then they would have a wastebasket in the entryway of this building. And they would intentionally wad up paper and set it on the floor next to the wastebasket. And they would see how many people would notice the trash that missed the wastebasket and see who put it in.
Okay. So
in the wastebasket.
Like, you're trying to find out their attention to detail when they come in.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that if they missed it, it wasn't always a surefire thing. But if they noticed it and corrected it, you knew that was a good employee.
You gave them
a little bit more attention in the interview.
I have to question one thing. Like, if you're at a business or an office and people have time to think that stuff up and then go out there and throw paper in, you got too many employees to start with.
Maybe.
Come on.
Or you really care about the level of your employees, for sure.
You got too much time.
So, I mean, I
focus that energy.
I judge all those things, right? Like, it's no different than in an interview, how much eye contact are you making? What are you doing with your hands? Are you fidgeting? Are you nervous? Are you comfortable? As you're interviewing people, you're making snap judgments about people's behavior, in an instant. And so,
so that you can understand their character, their judgment, what kind of stand-up person they are or not.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and so these were more hidden, like I call them shit tests of like, let's just see. You can't really fail the test, but you could pass the test, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you can't fail the test, but if you pass the test, you're going above and beyond.
Yeah.
And I know that I have no doubts now.
Prime example. We had one guy. We had one guy pull in.
Here or at your other place?
At this other place. Okay. Had one guy pull in, and he pulled in an older car, and there was shit piled all over the dash. But he was on time. He was actually 10 minutes early. He was dressed appropriately. He smelled nice. Like
yeah.
He, you know, every, like, yeah. Other than seeing the car that he pulled in with shit on the dash, you wouldn't have had any red flags. Yeah,
probably
right?
His cousin's car.
And so we started the interview.
Well, he lived in it.
And I said, how's your day going? And he goes, man, it's been a day. He says, I got hit in an intersection down the road. I almost didn't think I was going to make the interview. I got hit in an intersection, and I had to borrow my buddy's car to get here. But I got here, and I even made it here early.
I'm here, bitch.
And I'm like, okay, well, right there, it excuses.
Yeah.
It's not even his car, you know?
These guys are like, this loser.
Yeah.
So, oh, wait. He's a badass, by the way.
Yeah. And so then I started asking him about the car that was hit, and it wasn't a high-performance car. It wasn't a show car or anything else, but it was a nice car, and you could tell by the way he talked about it that he really loved he took care of his stuff. He took value in his stuff. And so it's these little shit tests are more or less opportunities for you to just intentionally learn about somebody's character in some way or another.
Yeah, and
in a way that they can't modify it.
Yeah.
Right.
And shit tests aren't necessarily, like, you don't have to be intentionally setting up shit tests. Like, shit tests are, like, when you have someone, you got to get that under control. Are you okay?
It's strong. I'm trudging through.
Like, when you have the all-day interview.
Yeah.
It's all shit tests all day.
Well, the all-day interview is like, you don't have to plan shit tests. You can just observe.
That's what I'm saying. It's, did he put his shoe covers on?
Right.
Did he make eye contact when he walked into the house? Did he give them options? Well, I don't know how deep yours are, but like, did he literally sweep up every crumb underneath the kitchen sink when we replaced that P-trap?
Yeah.
Like, literally, and my point is, there are shit tests that we all go through every day.
Yeah.
And as a leader, it's a good way for you to test your employees without testing your employees.
Yeah.
When you're aware of the shit tests that are going on and you're like, oh, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, be aware of them.
Yeah.
You know, put them in the forefront of your mind when you have a new hire.
Yeah.
Or are making a new hire.
Yep.
Or are doing like you did and, you know, have, you're looking at me really weird. Or we are having all day interviews.
Yeah.
You know, working interviews.
Ironically, so this new hire candidate actually came to us from listening to The Void. I probably owe you dinner.
You owe me way more than dinner, but that is not what we're talking about today.
Hey, I don't do that. I did that once in college, but that's it.
I don't even know what to say about you, S and a D.
No,
I think Mitch is kidding.
This, yeah,
I hope Mitch is kidding.
I'm absolutely kidding.
I'll call Craig. This I know your roommate.
Yeah. this guy used to listen. He still does listen to the podcast, and he heard us,
nice.
You know, talking about him, and that's what kind of got him following me and everything else. But there's a common term nowadays that gets thrown around, and there's a very common rebuttal to it. So I don't want to act like I authored either of these, but there's a certain group that likes to throw out the term toxic masculinity. And
are we about to get on another topic?
No.
Oh, why not? I like it. Let's go.
And then there's a you know, we all know toxic masculinity is absolute bullshit.
Of course it is.
Right? Because what's toxic is not the masculinity, it's the absence of masculinity.
Yeah.
In a male, it's the absence of masculinity is toxic. And the reason why is because masculinity has everything to do with strong leadership traits. Masculinity is setting high standards. Masculinity is handling your business. Masculinity is leading by example. Masculinity is holding people accountable, right?
Yeah.
And including yourself. And so when you see a guy that's fit and trimmed and lean and well-groomed and dressed nicely, if he's showing off his muscles because his clothes fit tight, because he's built muscles, that's not toxic. That's a sign of like dedication and discipline and leading by example.
Yeah, and good behavioral habits.
Yeah, and good fitness and good commitment to a standard that he's set for himself, right? Those are not toxic things. Those, the absence of those is toxic, right? So let's go the extreme opposite. Some skinny, scrawny, malnourished, underfed guy that sits in front of video games all day long in his mom's basement, that ain't masculinity.
No.
That's toxic right there because he's not contributing at all.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, a lot of the traits that, since the predominant volume of the listeners of this show are men, a lot of the traits that relate to masculinity also relate to leadership. They are one and the same. They're very synonymous, right?
Yes, they are.
And so, you know, I don't claim to be the best at this by no means, but that's part of like my dedication to the gym and everything else is that's my way of leading by example to anybody that I'm in contact with that like I have these daily disciplines that I do every day for me, for nobody else but just me. And I'm the one who knows if I went to the gym today or didn't. I'm the one who knows if I went and didn't give it my all, if I just went through the motions.
Yeah.
And, you know, lightened up the weight just to get my reps in and then went home. Like, I'm the one who knows if I, like, leveled up in the gym today and hit a new plateau. Like, nobody knows that shit. But that's what it takes for me to be a good leader. Like it to me, it's a daily discipline, an affirmation that, like, this helps me be a better leader because I did something I didn't have to do today.
We've talked about that a lot of showing discipline when it doesn't bring you money is the way that you practice discipline.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like, it shows that you care about something. It doesn't have to be going to the gym. It could be every morning I get up and I read about mental health growth, or I read about how to be a better leader,
right?
Or I do, you know, X, Y, or Z, because it takes discipline to do those things,
right?
Every day.
It's like I wash my truck every week.
Yeah,
it doesn't bring me money; it costs me money.
Yeah,
but it's a thing that I do every Saturday or Sunday, weather dependent. I wash my truck. I vacuum out the inside. I wipe it down, like, and then I'll even go above and beyond. And if I have like a special thing in the middle of the week, I'll do it again in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Just because there's a difference between spotless carpet and carpet with three blades of grass on it because they fell off your shoes.
Yeah. Practicing discipline when money's not involved sets the standard for everyone else.
Yeah.
And regardless of what that is, you have, if you're doing that in your own personal life, it makes you a better leader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
1,000%.
There are things people do all the time, like you were saying, going to the gym every day. Like, that's an easy one to use as an example.
Yeah.
But lots of the time, it's guys being in the office, a boss in the office 2 hours before everyone else, and have everything set up and ready to go for them.
Yeah.
It's not a physical attribute, but they're showing that they care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that's a sign of leadership.
Yeah.
They don't get paid extra to be there. They're there to set up their guys to be successful that day.
Yeah.
That's a sign of leadership.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's a small sign of leadership. Like, so I usually cook breakfast for my guys on Wednesday mornings, and we're recording this on Tuesday night.
Is it? God.
Yeah.
I'm ready for spring, man. It's only January.
And so I cook breakfast for myself, or for my guys on Wednesday mornings for our meetings.
That I've never been invited to.
Nope. Employees only.
Even when the Tradewinds member was there.
Yep. Employees Continue. Only.
Continue.
And so to do that, I have to roll open the garage door because of the fumes and the smoke and the grease that gets in the air from cooking bacon and everything else.
Yeah, there's probably no exhaust in that.
Yeah, there's no ventilation or exhaust or anything like that. Well, tomorrow it's going to be 0 degrees. I can't roll open the garage door and cook when it's 0 degrees. Because
Sandy's takeout?
Everybody's freezing, right? So me, as an example of like looking after my guys, I want to make sure a poor leader would just be like, no breakfast today because we'd have to open the door.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go find like a good breakfast idea. I'm probably going to get him Casey's gas station pizza, breakfast pizza.
First off, that's not a good decision.
Have you seen my guys?
If you want to have the shits, you get a Casey's. Take him to Sandy's.
Yeah, they don't open. Well, I guess they do open at 7 tomorrow. We might do that.
You
it's been forever.
The only reason I say that is you used to take them all the time. It's expensive as fuck.
Yeah, no, it's just distracting. That was the big thing, was that Sandy's is distracting.
You and her are good friends. You should get Sandy's to go and just take it to the shop.
I'm gonna do something here live on the show.
Oh my God. Sorry. For everyone listening, I'm sorry. I brought this up and now it's
So she just posted.
Are they going to be open tomorrow? I know they were. I think they were closed.
Wednesday, July 8th, 7 a.m. Sweet. We're going to go to Sandy's tomorrow.
There you go.
It's been decided.
Go to Sandy's. Can I go?
I made a post.
Can I pay for my own food and go?
Are you going to be there at 7 a.m.?
Fuck no.
Okay.
I would. Janine's changed her schedule. I have to get Layla on the bus on Wednesdays now. She doesn't have to work.
Yeah, she doesn't have to go to school.
We'll talk about this later.
Bring Layla.
You want to talk about distractions?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So, I made a post. So, as this weather was coming into town, you end up with a lot of, especially if you're on your community Facebook groups a lot, like I am for work.
I was on this weekend too. It was brutal.
Yeah, you get.
It's so hard.
You get a lot of, people tell about themselves a lot in those groups. But, there's a lot of these small businesses making announcements that, like, out of an abundance of caution for our staff, we're going to choose to remain closed today. And this is like Sunday, the day the blizzard is in town.
Yeah.
Okay. There's not a car on the road.
Yeah.
So I made this.
Is this the, hey, we know we're not going to make money post, but we want
a virtue signal. Yeah. Yeah, and so I made a Facebook post like,
I find it funny
when brick and mortar stores act like they're closing out of the safety of their employees.
I think I saw that.
When, in all reality, they aren't going to have any customers today.
No.
They ain't closing for that. They're closing because it doesn't make sense to be open.
No, just say, hey, we're closing because we know none of you can get here.
Yeah.
If you need something, let us know.
Yeah, and like, so...
depending on what their business is, obviously.
Yeah, and I'm friends with quite a few business owners in town, and we have a great relationship, and one of them I kind of butt heads with a little bit, but just enough to make great conversation. Like, we don't argue, we just kind of disagree.
And kind of like us half sometimes?
Yeah, and he owns Side Pockets, the pool bar here in town.
Oh, yeah,
And so he replied to it, and he said, we were open last night when the ice started coming in. The ice started coming in Saturday night.
The smoke-filled dumpster fire that is Side Pockets.
It's smoke-free now.
I know, but it still smells like a fucking ashtray in there.
It's actually pretty good. But anyway, he made a comment that he's like, I kicked everybody out. We were busy because we were one of the only places open.
Like, you motherfuckers got to get out of here.
But then the ice started coming in, and I closed down and kicked everybody out. And that was for everybody's safety, employees, patrons.
Yeah.
You know, if you die in a car crash tonight, you can't shop here next week, right? You can't play pool here. And
I was thinking, I don't want you to sue me or your family to sue me. But he's like, you can't come back.
And so I was like, keyword. Employees and patrons,
yeah,
right. It's the whole thing. It's the community.
I didn't
know
you were friends with that guy.
Yeah.
How do we not get to go up there and drink for free?
He does that. If he sees me up there, he comps my tab, and I'm like, motherfucker, I'm not coming up here to get free drinks. I'm coming up here to give you business.
How often do you go to Side Pockets?
Once a month. I'm probably up there 10 or 12 times a year.
You know what? I don't know you as well as I thought I did.
Yeah, Danielle and I go there on date night sometime and play darts. So it's fun.
Okay.
But
continue, sir.
And so then Erica, who owns Sandy's,
yeah,
she was like, yeah, we were closed out of our employees and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, I get it. It's like you guys are both using the right words, employees and patrons. It's the people that say out of their employees that you know they're just lying through their teeth.
Yeah.
And she was like, tell you what, the next time we close, I'm going to actually say it's because it doesn't make profitable sense for us to be open. So she did today.
Yeah.
Today was like the first day back and busy. Right?
Yeah, no one's going up there. And if I was her, I'd have been like, Mitch Smedley told me to do this. Don't use his plumbing services.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Mitch.
Yeah. No, so she made a post today. She was like, well, we tried, but there's just nobody in the store. It doesn't make sense for us to stay open. We're going to try again tomorrow at 7 a.m. Hopefully by then our parking lot's plowed. Their parking lot's not even plowed yet.
Who in the hell owns that center? What the fuck?
And so...
that's a huge one. It's the same one as Side Pockets.
I know.
Abundant Life Church is in there.
I know.
The gym is in there. What's the name of that gym?
Physique Fitness.
I know you know the name of every gym in the fucking tri-state area.
So,
Interesting.
Yeah, and then a couple of people were like, did Mitch put you up to this? And,
yes.
And I'm like, fuck yeah, I did. Hell yeah. So as a reward, bringing the whole company to her restaurant tomorrow,
you know,
at
what?
7 a.m.
That's great. You should text her. You should be like, hey.
I'm going to text the whole company as we speak on this show.
Okay, what do you want me to talk about?
We can all just keep talking.
Oh, shit, I thought we were about to like wrap up the show. Have you noticed how long the shows have been going lately?
They're getting longer.
They've been getting long. I think we need to start. We either need to start cutting them in half or just start shortening them up intentionally. Because some of those have been like 2 hours.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I like you and all. I like the conversation. I like the banter. I think we get a lot of good stuff out. But I mean, damn.
Yeah.
How long can I listen to you talk?
I talk a lot. I have a lot of words. Oh.
You do have a lot of words. I will say this. I've listened to the last... People that have been listening to the show for a long time know that I don't listen to the podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I don't give a fuck. It drives me insane. But I have to.
Now.
Now, because you fired Austin, you know, with super short...
Not fired.
Let Austin go.
We eliminated the video
position. Whatever! No, stop. Semantics are over.
Well, I don't want the listeners thinking Austin did anything bad.
No,
He's great.
Austin did not do anything
bad. We just
bad.
Eliminated
Austin,
video.
Austin was great.
Yeah.
Love Austin. He did a great, fantastic job. And I didn't even pay him. Okay.
Right.
So he did.
Yep.
Where was I going with this?
You having to listen to me talk and now you have to edit the podcast because Austin used to do all that.
Yes. Okay. So now that I'm having to listen, I've gone back and listened to a few to try to like get on track and know, you know, what I'm doing. You do make some really good monologue points where you roll for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Back in the day, when we first started this, none of that was happening.
Nope.
Good on you.
You know how I got that way? By listening to every show we've ever put out. And evaluating performance, making adjustments, and improving.
I don't think that's true.
It is.
I think you have intentionally decided, I want to be a better speaker.
Yeah.
And then have listened to self-help, whatever, anyone else, and been like, I'm going to get better at this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I'm actually applauding you. Job well done.
This is rare. Mark the date. Mark the time.
When is today?
Yeah.
It's been
really
good.
January 7th.
And you know how I know it's good? A lot of the comments that I've read, too.
Yeah.
Are like, oh, yeah, this and that and that and that.
Yeah.
The worst part is now I've got to up my game, and it fucking pisses me off.
You're welcome. So
you're welcome. Fuck you.
We've talked all the way around the leadership side of things, especially leadership within yourself.
Yeah.
Let's round this out with some funny comments. So,
funny comments about what? All that stuff I just said had nothing to do with you randomly bringing up stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And now
we're
going to
do it now.
We're going to shift gears. Okay. Yeah. All right. You know I'm always down for new fun stuff. What do you got?
Where's the best place for me to find these here?
What are you talking about? Are you talking about YouTube
We cropped up a YouTube short about my wife's car getting stolen.
Yeah, we passed 3 million views the other day.
Yeah.
You sent me the thing. I was like, holy shit.
Posted it up on YouTube. It's sitting at like 3.3 million views right now.
Damn.
And up to about 2 million views, 99% of the comments were like, they were supportive in some way or another, right? Because the whole purpose of the video is the cops did nothing. Like, I did all the work for them. I found the stolen car, told them right where it was.
It wasn't the cops' fault.
It's the dispatcher.
Go back and listen to the last couple episodes. You'll understand.
Yeah, yeah. But so they were supportive in one way or another. They were agreeing with the video, and only 1% or 2% were like, bad.
Yeah.
Well, something happened about the upper 2 millions, close to 3 millions in views. There's something that flips in somebody's mind where they start getting maybe jealous that you have a video with that many views. And so now they start hating the person that posted it. And so...
wasn't me, America.
Yeah. So one of the comments, this comment was just 13 hours ago.
Okay, give it to me.
It says, a girl driving an SRT Jeep? Bro, you are done. And I said, that's my girl driving that Jeep, and I've been done for 20 years. And he said, I'm sorry for your loss, man.
He's 100% right.
Yeah.
You whipped ass.
And so This other comment, I actually pinned, you can pin, as a creator of videos, you can pin one comment, and this was the funniest one, so I pinned it. It says, him, I'm going to call the cops. The cops, no, you're not. And the criminals just laugh the whole time.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Nope.
Let me, you know, there's a ton of comments like, dude, just steal it back. What are they going to do? Call the cops? And no. And it's like, dude, we tried. It wasn't there. You know, we went back with the keys and it wasn't there.
First off, you're 100% right in your first thought. You should have got out, stabbed a hole in four tires, and got back in the car.
Yep.
That's what you should have done.
I'm trying to think. Or I wish this thing could go, like, if we could organize.
Oh, you can't organize the comments.
You can't organize them by, like, number of likes or anything else.
No.
A lot of the comments, like, again, I don't know what these people look like. I have no clue, right? Yeah. All I know is that from a block and a half away when I was turning around, two guys run out of a house holding up their pants, run across the street to the car, there get in
some,
and take off.
There were some pretty racist comments.
There's a lot of comments on there talking about, like, well, pulling up their pants, running across the street. We know who stole that. You know?
I know a lot of white guys that...
Yeah.
Like, stop.
And if they
stop.
Like, if I knew the race, I would say it because it's factual. I honestly have no clue what their skin color is. Yeah. None.
And and for everyone's reference, I'm from right by there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like...
Hey, you had a cop question if you were white or black.
I've had a lot of questions in my day asked to me. Yes.
I'm going to have a hard time finding them. I'd love to find them so I could quote them word for word. But there's a lot of them that are showing up now calling me entitled.
Because you were trying to get your own shit back?
Yeah. They were like, wow, if this isn't the definition of entitlement, some white podcaster on YouTube thinks it's okay for him to chase after these people.
No, entitled would be like, I'm calling the cops and saying, if you don't do this, don't you know who I am?
Right.
I'm Mitch Smedley, a white podcaster. That would be entitled.
Yeah.
And not like, getting out there doing the legwork.
I'm like, imagine being called entitled while you're trying to get your own property back.
And I love crushing you on this show. And I can't even go along with that.
Right. If anything, the criminals are entitled because they feel entitled to my property.
They are entitled because the prosecutor won't prosecute them. And they're like, you know what we can do?
Yeah.
Take whatever the fuck we want. That's the definition of entitled.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of funny how the psyche of the view count changes the types of comments that you get.
Yeah, well, so. It's like anything. When someone views that you've had success, quote-unquote success, right,
mm-hmm.
then they view you differently.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Take Elon Musk. When Elon Musk was on, I'm going to say the come up, like he was like
he was already a billionaire, but like had only made Tesla, and he was the savior to the libtards.
Right, right.
Yes.
So like
we got a guy. Yes.
When a foreigner comes into the U.S. and immigrates properly to the U.S. and then comes up with a company called PayPal.
Oh, you're talking before Tesla.
Before Tesla, that was his first big thing.
Yeah,
right.
I know.
And so he creates PayPal and then sells it, and people are like, "Wow, he gave us the ability to exchange funds digitally." Awesome.
What a genius.
Right?
I love him.
He's the privateer. Like, he gave credit card usage to people instead of business to business or people to business, right?
Yes, but he was still charging the same interest rate, you dipshit,
making
just as much money for a quarter percent less.
But he made it possible, right? And
yeah,
then he comes
he
up with
possible.
Tesla, and they're like, oh my gosh, he's a visionary. He's such a good leader, and he's going to save the world, and oh man, he's just so thoughtful and everything. Well, then he creates SpaceX, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's doing things at half the price of NASA and twice the speed, and oh my, he's just so amazing.
He's so anti-government. He's great.
Yeah. And then he aligned himself with Trump.
Oh my God.
And now
these
exact same people hate him for the very values that they used to love him for. I got this girl on my social media
feed. He has not changed.
Not changed a bit.
The only thing he said is, hey, by the way, we can't manipulate free speech.
Yeah.
And I think it's bullshit. Yeah. That's all he said.
Yep.
And literally they're like, oh, you're not on our side? You're not gonna push our agenda and you're gonna tell the truth?
Yeah.
He's the devil.
Well, and because
he
aligned himself
stupid.
With Trump, like, I've got a friend in my Facebook that's like, you know,
I got about 10 of them.
Yeah, they're like, you know, the world is now in the hands of an oligarch, and oh my gosh,
Russian oligarch.
if you knew how he made his fortune, you would not like him and all this. I'm like, you were just praising him for how he made his fortune 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What do you mean if I knew, like,
PayPal, Tesla, that's how he made his money.
Off the slave labor of his employees. Literally 2 years ago, you were just bragging his high praises that he can create all of these jobs through his vision in his businesses.
Yeah, meanwhile, those same people are worshiping the ground that LeBron James walks on while he's part of Nike, using slave labor in China to make those shoes and sell them back to you.
Your iPhone.
Yeah. what are you fucking talking? Do you even have any, like, introspective view of yourself and what you believe as truth?
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Do you know how hard it is to talk to you when you're making that face?
It's a strong drink. It's going to take me all night to finish it.
But it's just... It's insane to me the hypocrisy that people go through in their own lives and own views in a span of 6 months, 8 months, 2 years. It's crazy.
You want to talk about crazy, like, leadership in masculinity? You know, when I don't remember who he was interviewing him, but when he had recently bought Twitter, now X, and
I am
advertisers.
I should get on there.
The liberal. I have an account, but I don't understand how it works very well.
Dude, do you know?
To me, Twitter's like a gossip thing, and I don't like gossip.
Do you know how you can tell you're old? You can't understand X or Instagram because I can't do either.
No, I understand Instagram and I understand Facebook.
I don't understand Instagram.
Twitter's hard because.
I do like the fact that on Twitter, I could literally write two lines and then just be like, oh, no one knows who I am.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm still not on there.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Twitter's kind of wild for me.
It's weird. Go ahead. Sorry.
He was being interviewed, and all of these advertisers, these extremely liberal companies, were pulling their advertising. And he was interviewed about it, and he was like, they were asking him, like, are you worried about the financial stability of Twitter if all these advertisers pull out? And he goes, you mean, like, leverage me, like, try to bribe me with money? I don't need money. He goes, fuck you. And then he, like, turns to the cameras, and he was like, I'm talking to you advertisers. If you think you can bribe me with money, fuck you. And he reiterates it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is setting high standards. That is leadership, right? We will not be bought. We will do what's right for the nation without being bought. And what happened today?
Today. Announced. That's for the TW guys.
Today. What
today.
Happened? Do you know?
No, I don't know. I worked all day today. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm behind the skew.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, today, he went down to Mar-a-Lago yesterday. No.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg today announced that there will no longer be fact checkers on Facebook in the effort of free speech.
Yeah.
Ironically, after the election and literally the day following the certification of the vote, when they realized, okay, fact checking didn't work to manipulate the outcome of a vote like we thought it would, here we are. And what's funny, I don't get fact checked a lot. I don't post a lot of stuff, divisive stuff to get fact checked anymore.
No, you don't.
I got fact-checked 3 days ago,
and
I was really surprised.
For what?
So, because this big blizzard was coming into town, Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel was in Kansas City.
Such a douche.
Right. The guy that's
such a liar.
The guy that's notorious for standing in wind, acting like he's bracing himself.
And people are walking by in the background.
There's tourists, like, walking by in shorts and flip-flops.
He's such a piece of shit.
He's also been busted standing in the deepest trenches he can while his film crew stands on largely dry ground.
Yeah, like, trying to act God, like, it's 4 foot of water.
Yeah, the floods are so bad. No, you're standing in a fucking culvert, you idiot.
Yeah, we don't push drama here. We only push facts.
Right.
You're a liar.
And chances are he's not even on his feet. He's probably on his knees to make it look even deeper.
Yeah,
right?
Well, he's probably used to that.
So he was coming into town, and I didn't even, this wasn't even a post, it was a comment on a post, and I was like, oh, great, I can only see it now. He's going to act like he's bracing himself in the wind and like this is dangerous conditions and nobody can be outside. Meanwhile, two toddlers are screaming and giggling, passing him on a sled, having the time of their life because it's just snow.
Yeah. But you got fact checked for that?
Yeah, that's I got fact checked for it. And they blurred out the photo. You have to click on it twice. You have to say like, yes, I want to see the photo.
See why?
Yes.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
And then it's like, Jim Cantor is oftenly mislabeled as embellishing the severity of weather. And it's like, no, he fucking does embellish the severity of weather.
I just...
Like, have you seen the video of the newscaster that's standing in her, like, actually yes. in a hurricane?
Yes.
And she gets taken out by a stop sign?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
do
real.
Do that to Jim Cantor and I'll finally fucking believe him. Smack him in the face with a stop sign at 110 miles an hour... And I'll believe the severity of the hurricane.
He's a piece of shit.
Absolute piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit. He's a fucking liar.
Yeah.
He's been caught lying about weather. What I don't understand...
And then here the fact checkers are saying, what you just saw, you didn't see.
Why is he still allowed to do it?
I don't know. I have no clue.
That's what pisses me off.
Yeah.
Why are we just enabling these people to manipulate news through lies... And then we just keep throwing them on fucking TV. Why?
Because
they could talk on camera?
Yeah.
It takes 3 weeks of training.
Well,
any fucking dumbass can do it.
So last week, a local news agency came to my house.
I'm mad all of a sudden for some reason. I blame you for this.
The Fox 4 News came to my house last week because they saw the viral video taken off about Kansas City not doing anything about car thieves.
Oh, KCPD.
And so the news comes to my house, and I tell them the whole story, and I tell them what the dispatcher said, and the dispatcher refused to help and everything else. And then, unbeknownst to me, they go and interview a sergeant at the police department.
He was probably like, yeah, this bitch won't fucking prosecute nobody.
No, and the sergeant was like, I don't really know anything about those specific events, but if you call into 911, just stay on the line and tell them you'll get them the case number later. They don't actually need that to start anything. And you just tell them, like, we'll get to that later, but now just come out to where I'm at for the car. And I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Cause I did that.
That's what I tried to do.
Did you get that transcript yet?
No, I cannot figure out. Like, well, for one, last week was a holiday week, and then with the snow days and everything else, I can't get through to order it. And I've got to order it through the... what do they call it?
Don't you have an attorney buddy? If you had an attorney buddy, they could just call down there and probably get it.
No, it's so I can order it because it's my transcript. But if anybody else orders it, I think it has to be court ordered.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to remember. It's a four-word acronym.
FOIA?
Yes, Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah,
there you go.
FOIA.
So I can order it through the Freedom of my mind just went blank.
Oh, don't blame it on that. Dave knows some stuff.
Oh, you know.
Dave knows some stuff.
But through the Freedom of Information Act, I can order it because it's my information. It's my recording.
Yes.
But if you tried to call and record it, you would have to show some legal reason why you need it.
I would have to get an attorney, and the attorney would have to go to a judge and be like, hey, he needs it because of X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And then that judge would give him a warrant to then get it.
Yeah.
That's how that would work.
I hope I can get the recording because it is... For one, it's incredibly damning to the KC police. It is hilarious.
You do not... First off, it's not damning to the KC police department.
It's damning to their dispatch.
To the dispatch.
The 911 dispatch. Oh, that's another comment that we get all the time
the
on this, on that
video. The 911 dispatch is not the same as the... They get paid through the same fund, but they aren't cops. The
correct.
People answering the phone are not cops. I want to make this very clear. I have a cousin that's a cop.
Yeah.
I have two uncles that were cops. One's retired, one's dead. I have two friends that were military policemen. Mm-hmm. Mitch and I support the police more than anyone.
1,000%.
I have given a ton of money, okay?
Yep.
We love cops.
Yep.
I wish there were fucking 10 times the cops to keep the D-bags off the street.
Yeah.
So don't think for one fucking second. I'm just...
Yep.
I'm not saying we haven't made it clear, but I'm making it extra clear.
Yep.
Love me some cops. Cody Smith used to be a cop.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think he listens to this, but
the problem,
good cop too.
The problem is the cops are the pinpoint of all of the heat. And what I mean by that is
they're the epicenter.
Yeah. How do you get a cop to come to your house? You call 911.
Yeah.
Right? So when I called the cops, 911, and I run into friction, the cops get the heat for it, right?
Yeah.
Same thing, like if my plumbing company were to burn somebody's house down by accident.
You're taking the heat, dog.
My dispatcher's going to get heat for it because first. She works at the plumbing company.
She's the first one.
Right. Everybody associated with the plumbing company takes the heat, right? Everybody associated with the cops takes the heat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, to be clear, this isn't a cop issue. It's a prosecution issue
and
in Jackson County.
A dispatch issue because that lady was not following what the rules are.
I don't know what the rules are, so I can't say that. But what I'm saying,
and she's full of shit.
What I'm saying is if prosecutors don't prosecute criminals, cops don't have any motive to do their job. And if I called the cops and said my car was just stolen by a 6 foot tall white guy in a purple shirt and pink shoes, and the cops found my car 2 blocks away, driven by a 6 foot tall white guy in a purple shirt and pink shoes.
We've said this before. You're right.
They would get them with possession of stolen property.
Yeah.
They would not charge them with a crime.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is a misdemeanor, not
right.
a felony.
And yeah. that's because Jean Peters Baker, our current Jackson County prosecutor,
she's
on her way out.
Piece of shit.
She was the biggest piece of shit prosecutor.
Piece of shit.
Ever.
I hope we don't get sued for this. It's just our opinion.
No.
But she's a piece of shit.
How can you get sued for somebody not doing their goddamn job and us pointing it out? Their job is to prosecute
defamation
criminals.
Of character.
No. She is like.
I know.
Absolute piece
I
of
know.
Shit. And there's nobody in their right mind that could argue that when you're staring a criminal in the face and then you are taking the spearhead of lowering their charges for them. And then you don't even enforce the charges that you do charge them with to the fullest extent.
Yeah.
It's like, what more do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a cop dead in Independence because of her.
Yeah.
Because she let him off the hook, and literally a day later, he went out and killed a police officer.
I know.
So.
She should probably be sued.
She should probably be alive. She should probably burn in hell.
Oh, first off. She's probably going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
But that family deserves some justice.
Absolutely. The city deserves, like the entire metro
yeah.
area deserves justice from that.
Yeah.
Because
it's bullshit.
Here, I don't even live in that city, and now I'm a victim of crime in that city because of her bullshit.
Yeah.
You start prosecuting car thieves with Grand Theft Auto, and car thieves start spending 10 or 15 or 20 years in prison because of stealing a $60,000 car. And all of a sudden, car thieves aren't going to steal as much anymore.
Yeah.
And, right?
And I'm even okay with, okay, it's their first offense. They've never done anything wrong. Okay, they get probation.
You get 3 years and then probation.
No, they get probation.
I don't even give them, like.
They get probation. Everyone gets one chance. In my book, everyone gets one chance. They do it again, 10 years. It's the three for a nickel thing, but times three.
I don't even like that because, like. I can understand being in so here's the gray area with this. So I have this idea.
Here we go.
If you...
You know, we talked about...
Shortening the show. Yeah, I know.
Short. We're at 120, Mitch.
So if you prosecute identifiable stolen property as theft.
Okay.
So if you're in possession...
I'm following you.
If you're in possession of a stolen reciprocating saw, nobody can identify that from any other saw. Right? You're just in possession of stolen property at that point. But if you're in possession of a registered, insured piece of equipment with a unique identification number on it that is listed as stolen property.
So anything with a serial number over X amount of dollars.
Yes.
Okay. That's insured.
That's insured. And you get caught with that stolen property, then you are charged with the theft of that stolen property.
I think it should be.
You could limit it to just automobiles or construction equipment.
I'm just thinking, if you're caught with a stolen piece, okay, yes, there's a penalty. If you're caught and convicted of stealing it, it's a higher crime, right?
Well,
you're caught with a car. Okay, stolen property, blah, 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 blah. You're charged with X. You're caught and convicted of actually stealing that vehicle, it's higher than that.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, they can't be equal, is my point, I guess.
What I'm saying is, so we had a tablet stolen out of one of our work vans. We have the suspect on video. They got out of their car. We have the license plate clear as day. They reach into our van, steal the tablet, and drive away. The cop's exact words are, we can't go to the prosecutor with this because we didn't see them do it, and we can't assure ourselves that the man that the vehicle is registered to is that man. In other words,
depends on how clear that evidence is.
Well,
video. How clear is the video?
A cop could see you steal a car, and then they would question the cop's memory. In other words, there is, like, you could steal shit all day long and never get caught, and the worst offense you're going to get is in possession of stolen property.
You're right. Maybe we should start a fucking stealing ring.
Maybe. But what I'm saying is,
I got nothing to do.
Like, you don't get in, somebody doesn't just loan you a car and you get into it, right? If you get into somebody's car,
yeah, you know it's stolen.
You know it's stolen.
Yeah.
Or if you don't, shame on you.
If cops episodes from the 90s have taught us anything, it wasn't my baby mama daddy car.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
The motherfucker's stolen.
Yeah, it's my cousin's car. Bullshit.
Yeah, it's
right?
stolen.
So, where I'm saying the insured, registrable, like VIN, vehicle identification number, trackable a thing, right?
Well, like your tablet has a serial number.
We have the fucking suspect on video.
I'm saying it has a serial number. You could be like, okay, that's mine. I know that. Like, it's not a wrench that someone stole from a goddamn pawn shop.
Yeah, it's not a screwdriver.
Like, it has a number that you can track.
Right.
I'm backing you up on this.
Yeah, we
can
digitally track it. We can pin the tablet in the guy's house that matches his license plate.
Yeah.
That matches the description of the video, and that's still not enough evidence for the cop to convict this guy of a crime.
You know what? It's enough for us to put on ski masks and go fucking
right.
like Robin Hood shit.
And that's
like,
where shit's going to go, is you're going to get a lot of vigilante justice before too long.
Vigilante justice is a thing now, and no one talks about it.
Right.
People can literally, like, if you're on the Google net and you hack it, I can see where your phone is at any given time. And I'm like, okay, this phone was outside of my address at X time.
Yeah.
When this stuff went down. And now it's at 7854 12th Street in Independence. Maybe I just take my fucking shotgun over there and leave my phone at home because I know that the Google net can only track me if I take my phone.
Right.
Like, it goes on now.
Yeah.
And it is only exacerbated because there is no prosecution.
Right.
So it's like the lack of prosecution has created that problem, and that problem's going to get worse because of the lack of prosecution.
Right. And
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's where I'm saying this isn't a cop issue. Imagine being a cop and putting in all the legwork to bust, hey, I just came across 15 stolen cars, and these people that I busted with them match the descriptions of the thieves of all 15 of these stolen cars.
I worked hard. I did my detective work. I got them. I got them, Gene.
And then,
I got them.
And then the prosecutor's like, it's possession. We can't prove they stole it.
Yeah, and then that guy's like, you know what? I'm going to leave my phone at home, and I'm going to go over to Gene's house and throw 5 gallons of gas in her car and set it on fire.
Maybe.
That's probably what should fucking happen.
Yeah. So that's, those types of facts are what, for one, keep our ass out of a sling on defamation of character, because it's not defamation of character if it's true.
No, it's 100% true.
It's not libel or slander if it's true. And if you have a poor character, you defamed your own character. You defamed your own character when you chose not to prosecute a murderer. You let him back out on the streets and he kills a cop the next day.
Yeah, you're a piece of shit.
That's on you.
You're a piece of shit.
Right.
We're wrapping up this show, but how do you sleep at night as that person?
I don't know. I have no clue. I mean, we all have...
How do you fucking sleep at night?
That's a problem she's going to have to answer to later in life, afterlife. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I love the immorality look, and they're like, oh, God's not real. Heaven's not real. Hell's not real. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And like, okay, so how do we get people to be moral?
Yeah.
So what are we doing? Are we going to full anarchy? Because if we are...
Yep.
Let me know now.
We're circling back that way.
Because I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like, fire. If we're going to fire it up, fire it up.
Yep.
I don't want to be 65 and can't be trudging through the woods for 4 miles. Let me know now.
Yep.
It's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, it's nuts. So,
wrap us up.
We
kind of
got off
man.
On this
I'm fucking tired.
Stolen car tangent again, but
no more stolen car stuff.
Well, it's highlighting more of a bad justice system than anything else. But guys, if this show taught you value or anything else, actually, there's one more question I have for everybody on this show.
Oh, God damn it.
If anybody on this show has AirPods or earbuds, not AirPods because I'm Android. Anybody on the show has earbuds that will work with an Android that will actually get loud, feel free to find me on Facebook and text them to me. This whatever is, you got, because my earbuds don't get loud enough, and I hate it.
This
and it's
is
not
Mitch's
because
problem.
I'm losing my hearing or anything else.
This is Mitch's problem. He can't wear headphones to cancel noise because he's paranoid and has ADHD.
Yeah, I won't wear headphones in the gym.
And he won't wear inner ears because the same thing.
No, I'll wear inner ears.
If they allow outside noise.
It's not really the, I don't.
If they will allow outside noise where people are walking by and stuff,
yeah,
you'll
I don't,
be fine with it.
I don't want to get so zoned into my music or my podcast that I'm listening to that I can't hear somebody sneaking up behind me.
I like the axles. Axles, I think they're AXILs.
Yeah.
They're inner ears, but not inner ears. You know, you can actually go and have inner ear molds done like the professional musicians do at any ear doctor and then have implanted stuff put in them.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're pretty badass and only like $300.
Well, if anybody's got any ideas, let me know.
Fucking let you know.
Well, I'll take more ideas than that.
Okay.
I'm not saying yours is bad. I just want all of them.
Reach out to Mitch.
I want all the ideas.
And tell him that Dave's right.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll send you something.
There we go. So, find me on Facebook, Mitch Smedley. I currently have the blue check. I'm actually letting the blue check lapse. It's Facebook's latest recommendation for me to try to get professional mode on Facebook. Facebook can't even tell me why I don't have professional mode. And so they're wanting me to let my blue check membership lapse and then uninstall the app and reinstall it after I don't have a blue check anymore and see if professional mode is available. So
very interesting.
It is interesting.
I don't have the blue check. It's David Hilton. And yeah. You find me, don't find me, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah. Or you can email us at mitch@tradewindsconsulting.com or dave@tradewindsconsulting.com.
I will answer those if you email me.
Yep. Until then, we will see you guys later.